Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and Hosanna.
Hosanna, yeah.
I was calling her Hannah. Well, anyway, last time we were in James 1 through 12, James 4, 1 through 12, and you know, a lot of the small portion we talked about was the importance of prayer, submission to God, peace came over me. External conflict, this is what Tara said last time, and it really stuck. External conflict is often a symptom of internal conflict. Mm. If we're not at peace with ourselves, we're not likely to have peace with others.
That's so true.
And that really did hit. So today we're going to continue on in James 4, 13 through 17, and talk about having total reliance on God. That, and as Tara was praying before we go on, she was talking about God's perfect timing. Oh my goodness. It is perfect timing every time. Mm. We just stop and think about His sovereignty. So, what will our day bring? The Bible tells us that our life is like a vapor. And I can really relate to that one a lot sometimes. We never know what the day is going to bring.
We do not. And just kind of as a connection point from last time, we'll end in James 4, 12. He said, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do we have to judge? Okay, so to tie in from what we were in last time, God alone is the one that has the power to save or to destroy. And now this section, it's a warning against our self-confidence or our self-assurance, our self-centeredness, anything that we can put the word self in front of. Mm-hmm. God is wanting us to understand He's the one who has the power to save or to destroy. And this week I've had multiple opportunities. I was telling Sandy and Hosanna, it's kind of ironic, and that this lesson was actually written and prepared well over a year ago. But within the last week, we had big news here for us in Omaha, and that Grace University announced that it'd be closing in May 2018. And God has used this particular lesson to minister to me and to remind me of some great truths. So it's kind of fun how he orchestrated that. But I've been having lots of conversations with different students. And yesterday in particular, I had one, and I was reminding her of the difference between the sovereign will of God and the command will of God. And I can't remember, did I allude to that last time on the radio? I don't recall if I did or not.
I don't recall that. But.
And so I feel like at some point I have talked about it, but I can't remember exactly at what point. And so the sovereign will of God, we cannot change. And that is what James is talking about here. God alone, He's the one that has the power to save and destroy. The sovereign will of God, we cannot. But the command will of God, we can change. Mm. And so what we're about to look at is within the command will of God, what does it look like for us to be self-motivated, self-assured, self-righteous, self-confident, anything that we have that motivates us, that pulls us away from walking in obedience to God's command will of how He wants us to walk our walk. And when we understand the difference between sovereign will and the command will, that's when we are better able to walk through life circumstances and do it in a heart attitude that says, in your will. If mm-hmm. God wills it, it will be. And so in particular with this particular student, I was sharing with her, you know, she's like, well, they say it's closing, but could something happen? And my answer to her was, I don't know the sovereign will of God, but the sovereign will of God will be. What I do know is the command will of God. And so regardless if Grace stays open or closes, we're called to love one another, serve one another, forgive one another, give glory to God, to bring honor to others, and to do so with stewardship. And so looking at the things that we know we can act out and give glory to God in those circumstances. And that's how we should move forward. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Hosanna. We're going to read it. When we prepared this lesson, Greg had He had reminded me of the Amplified on this particular section is pretty strong. And he also pulled out the Expanded Bible. Greg's my husband, for those that don't know. And so for this particular week, we'll use the Amplified. Next week, we're going to look at the Expanded Version because it just gives a greater insight into what was being read. And so first, we're going to start off with Hosanna reading the Amplified Version of this chapter, 4, verses 13 through 17.
It says this, "Come now and pay attention to this, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life. What is secure in your life? You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot, that is visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. But as it is, you boast vainly in your pretension and arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin."
Mm-hmm. That's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong words.
It is such a good one. So I laughed when I read this question at the beginning of the week when I was preparing. So did you ever have plans get waylaid by completely unforeseen circumstances? Like, remember, this was prepared a year ago.
Yeah. And I did Monday.
What was your Monday?
I was taking a friend to get her car, and then we came back and we stopped a few. I said, you know what? I need to stop at this blind place because my blind was broken. Could we stop for a minute? Would you mind? And she said, no. So I went in, and there was a lady there. She was, I think, of Indian descent. I'm not sure. And she came over to me after the lady had gone to get my equipment and said to me, which I couldn't understand right away of their language, but she wanted to find a pharmacy because her child was sick. And between us trying to do things and her, you know, I figured out that she needed Tylenol for the baby, like a syrup or like to take down the temperature of fever. Well, so as my friend's waiting in the car, I don't know, God just laid on my heart to go get that for her. I couldn't take her because she had a child that didn't, I don't have a car seat. I ran to Shopko and got her the what she needed, and she wanted something else, that a woman thing. And so I brought it back, and it's just the heart. She was so excited, you know, that somebody, and she's only lived here 2 weeks, but she walked from the apartment to this blind place, you know. I love it when God puts people in front of you that you can help.
Yeah.
But you got to be aware of it. You've got to be ready.
Yeah. And Sandy, that's a beautiful example of how you had something on your schedule that you thought, but you were willing to allow yourself to be detoured.
Yeah.
Okay. And you gave a beautiful example of how you were willing to be a servant. Now I'm going to rephrase the question. Have you ever had plans that got waylaid, stopped, that were not pleasant? Okay. Now think through that. And completely unforeseen circumstances. So the closing of Grace, the diagnosis of cancer, the loss of a job, the breakup of a relationship,
the death of a spouse,
the death of somebody in your family, even the death of a pet, you know, something that just, it stops you. And then you have an opportunity to react. How did you react and in response to what occurred? You know, for myself with the Grace one, I actually had peace.
That word.
It was one of those moments where, you know, it was horrible information, but I had complete peace come over me. And that, I believe, happened in me because I had prayed up before, not in particular, you know, but just prayed up. I have been in the Word, and I'm drawing near to God. I am asking God to teach me. I am asking Him to show me how to walk in obedience. And so my heart was prepared in ways I didn't know it would be prepared. And He does that for us.
Yeah.
And so thinking through how we can be stopped And in particular, James is talking here about almost our attitude or our arrogance that we can have going into these circumstances. Like we can have them where it messes things up. And we can have this attitude that can just destroy everything. So what do you think the attitudes are that James is wanting us to confront? What do you think he's trying to target?
A big one is pride and this idea of like control, mm-hmm. that you're in control. Mm-hmm. And the truth is you're never really in control, but sometimes you don't realize it until those moments when your plans get stopped. And mm-hmm. It reminds me of Proverbs, where Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit whatever you do to the Lord and he will establish your plans. Mm. And it's this idea that God's ways are better than your ways. And so whatever you do, like, surrender that to the Lord and realize that he might stop what you're doing and close the one door and leave you in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. How about you, Sandy?
Well, just, you know, the death of my husband, you know, that stops you because he was rehabbing. You know, even though he was very ill, it was a sudden death to me.
Mm.
You know, but yeah, just, you know, when you pray through his illness, and, you know, God just does give you that peace that he's there. You've got to know that God's there with you to have that peace.
Right, right. And we have this quote. I wanted you to hear. This is from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It was really good. He says that the offender attacked by James is a fairly typical businessman in their day. And he is self-assertive in his travel plans, and he'll go out of this way or out of the city, and he's self-confident about his schedule. He's confident about how he'll spend his time. He's self-centered in his trade and his relationships, about how he's going to make money, how he's going to carry on business. He just very egotistical. Mm. And so I wrote down the self-assertiveness, the self-confidence, the self-centered, anything that we can put that in front of. And what it does is it produces this tension for us, in that we have this self idea, and our culture teaches this so much in the news and magazines and TV. It's all about you, mm-hmm. self motivating, you just do it kind of thing. Whereas here he's challenging us and saying we have to say, you know, what's your plan, God? How am I going to allow you to be a part of it? And so James is talking about what would fall into the category of arrogant schemes. That's the words that are used. And I'm just curious, how would you define arrogance?
It's kind of like a cockiness.
Yeah.
There's a difference between confidence and arrogance.
There is. You're right.
Confidence is like knowing what you're good at and being stable in that. Like, arrogance is like boasting of it.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do. I was laughing this morning because when I looked it up in the dictionary, the first dictionary on the internet said that of being arrogant. And I'm like, you cannot use the word to define the word. It was like, okay, obviously that dictionary.com needs a little bit of direction. So I went to Webster's because Webster's is just awesome. And Webster's defined it as an attitude of superiority or an overbearing manner that is presumptuous and claims or assumes assumptions. And I think that fits very well with what you just said, Hosanna.
Yeah.
Greg wrote down that it's a view of self-importance and the value of thinking that you're so much better. And
I was just going to say that, the people, you know.
Yeah. And so
they look down on other people. Yeah, yeah.
And so this is the warning of self-confidence. But not the self-confidence that, you know, okay, I trust God. The self-confidence is that
I trust myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so not good. So is it arrogant for me to say, you know, I'm going to go eat toast for breakfast?
No.
No.
Arrogant?
No.
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 That's just a fact.
Because I've had this dialogue with somebody before where they were like, well, if you really think that scripture says, you know, you have to say, you know, if the Lord will it, you don't say the Lord will it when you, if the Lord wills it, I'll get dressed in the morning. If the Lord wills it, I'll wear the green shirt versus the blue shirt.
True.
So when...
It's not saying we're not supposed to make plans. You know, we're supposed to do our daily whatever, like having toast.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
that's God's will for us to eat.
Exactly. So when does this apply? Like when should we really be thinking through of when does the Lord will it? Why is that important for us to be thinking? Because he's talking to businessmen, but it applies to every aspect of our life.
Are you talking about like what God's will would be?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Well, like you named earlier something, but I can't remember all the things you listed. Oh, I do have them. I wrote them.
The sovereign will.
Yeah, the sovereign will, the command will. Yeah.
Okay. How about when we're making big decisions in life?
Definitely need to pray about that one.
Yeah.
With God's help, he'll lead you to the right. I know when I was trying to, after Steve had passed away, make all these decisions without Steve, I was always praying to the Lord to show me the right way to, you know, even just to put somebody in front of me, you know, of what I needed to do. And he did.
He gave you what you
he
needed.
He gave me exactly who I needed in front of me or what I needed to do.
And one of the things I have to remind people often, because a lot of people are like, well, how do I make the decision to stay at this college or to go to this college or whatever? And God promises in Proverbs, he says, if you, you know, surrender to him, you take the steps, he'll set the path straight.
Right.
And so... just it's the heart, the attitude of the heart, and that instead of I'm making my plans, I'm willing to have my heart surrendered to being redirected by God.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to that holy nudge of him pointing us in a different direction and the openness for that. And so...
and a lot of times people can lead us astray, not meaningly, away from God, you know, what he wants us to do.
Right.
If we're not listening to him first.
Very easy to do. Very easy. And so in our last minute with what we're looking at, I want us to go back and evaluate. So we're looking at our self-confidence, our arrogance. We have to guard against it. And we have anything that takes us to where our attitude is not seeking God first. And so making sure that we are asking ourselves, what is my heart saying? And am I doing this apart from God? So it doesn't necessarily apply to like our daily routine. But it can, and that if we have not invited God into it, we can get arrogant about our routine even, and that's when we get upset. So at one point in my life, we had a young woman living with us. I was mad because she was sitting in my chair. It's like, how arrogant is that? That's not what God wants. And so thinking,
we all have those thoughts.
So I want you to come back next week because we're going to be looking at ultimately how can we depend upon God. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just thank God for you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org. God bless.